Work session open at 6 o'clock. Thanks, Al.
So there's a memo, and on the back second page is a map of what we're talking about here. So Mr. Whitney came into my office a week and a half ago. He owns the parcel of land immediately north and west of the park boundary adjacent to Henkel Boulevard. And he also owns his house is here on Route 48. This little house here that in the town property corner comes up to within 5 feet of the corner of his house. So he's got no buffer. He would like to have a buffer here and control this land along 48 so that he doesn't. There's been discussion in the past of trying to do a trailhead there and then a trail back through the park. Problem with doing a trailhead there is it drops off about 50 feet in vertically in a distance of about 100 feet from the edge of Route 48. So it's a really steep slope. So it's not really an easy spot to construct any kind of trail or have a trailhead. And on top of that, at the bottom of the slope, you can see all this tan area in the aerial photograph is all flooded. That's all phragmites and cattails. It's a big wetland. So in addition to that, it's quite honestly, it's really expensive to build a trail through a wetland. Bob will vouch for that. Mr. Whitney's property that borders Henkel Boulevard is all relatively high and dry, deciduous hardwood forest, which is a good place to build a nature trail, which is something that we've always wanted to do back there. So what's shown here is the parcel that's outlined in red adjacent to Route 48 would be transferred to Mr. Whitney from the town. Mr. Whitney's parcel along Henkel Boulevard the parcel on 48 would be transferred to Mr. Whitney. The parcel on Henkel Boulevard would be transferred to the town. About 8.5 acres swap. It's a 1-for-1.
Same tax value?
We'd have to do an appraisal. That's where we're going with this next. Actually, the hardwood forest should be appraised higher than the wetland and the sloped land as well. Mr. Whitney's, only requirement is he doesn't want to pay anything out of his pocket. So our next step, if we wanted to go forward with this, would be to get an RFP out to surveyors, local surveyors, and appraisers to see how much it would cost to have a subdivision map prepared and what the cost would be for an appraisal to find out what the values of the two properties will be. Provided nobody's opposed, I mean, that's what our next step in this is. Cost for the surveying work and the appraisal work could be paid for out of the fee in lieu of parkland account, so it wouldn't come out of the general fund town budget monies.
How much would that cost?
Surveyors, I'm estimating right around $1,500. Appraisal, I would think, is less than $1,000.
A couple hundred bucks for that.
Yeah, less than $1,000 for appraisal
two
on the two parcels.
Both.
Yeah, it's not a expensive endeavor, and this plays into a grant that we recently applied for through the National Fish and Wildlife Federation for $50,000 to construct a half mile nature trail on that undeveloped portion of the park. Obviously, we've just made application for that.
Who owns this?
We would still own that.
Okay, I don't know where we own.
Yeah, our parcel boundary is.
Okay, so we own this.
We don't own that.
Right here.
Yeah, we don't own that piece right there.
Okay.
So that would square up, what's shown here squares up our back property line rather than going out to 48. So that's ours.
And we don't own the Pentagon over
there. No. Yeah, we don't own that.
This one, triangle.
Yeah, we own that.
Can I ask you a couple of questions?
Sure.
So I'm very familiar with that piece of property because I drive by it almost every day. I think everybody else must be familiar with it too. Are the utilities up there? Is there water and sewer on that road, on 48 up there?
On 48, the water ends. It comes down from Aqua to, does not come all the way to where Coachman's Whip comes out. Someplace in here, the Aqua main ends, and then the
it comes from the north.
It does. It feeds down from the north,
and then the village comes up from the south.
South, correct.
So you can get water to these to this lot.
You could.
And what about sewer?
There is no sewer in the immediate vicinity.
Okay. The reason I'm asking that is if I was going to build a house, I would build it on that piece of property. The view is unbelievable.
Well, yeah, but the problem is to build a house, you'd have to put a ton of fill into the wetland.
Right on the edge, you have enough room to build a house.
No. Not when you look at the
not when you look at the
front yard setback requirements and the town zoning code and the width of the right of way.
Wetland setback.
Yeah. I don't know if this would be designated as a state.
I would like us to check on that because in terms of the value of real estate, if there's water and it's developable, it's much more valuable than Henkel Boulevard.
Yeah, there's no way. Our front yard setback, that's in our AR-40 zone. So our front yard setback is 50 feet. When you get to the 50-foot mark, you're already going down the steep embankment to the
because the house that he's in is right off the road.
You can see that it doesn't meet the front yard setback requirement. He's built right up against the right of way.
You can assure me that he and if he owns the land, he can do whatever he wants. But he's not going to be able to subdivide it and sell it off as a premium building lot because that's potentially valuable.
I truly understand what you're saying, and I don't. There's no because of the front yard setback requirement. There's no room. There's not enough width or depth back.
You couldn't be imaginative and build into that hillside?
No, I don't believe so. No, right.
You couldn't put anything on stilts or anything. There's no way that you could put a building right there.
It literally drops off at a slope like this.
It's a cliff.
It's a steep drop off. There's no without filling into the wetlands at the bottom of the hill. There's no way you're building a house there. And we're not talking a little bit of fill. You got to come up 50 feet. And let's face it, if you're placing fill, you're going to have to be at steepest 1.5 on 1, or you're going to need to put a retaining wall in. Nobody's building a 50-foot high retaining wall.
I'm not so sure that if we're doing a swap, we've got to do deeds. That we could put a restriction in the deed to him, saying
that's what I was thinking as well.
I mean, that would make me feel comfortable. Yeah, on the other hand, you know, I don't want to preclude even us from. It's not deemed parkland, and if we could sell that road frontage for $500,000.
Yeah, I was gonna say I. It was supposed to be designated as parkland because it was gifted to the town.
Right, but it's not
to be part of the park. I would think that it's an
ethical thing.
Yes, that would be an unethical thing to do, being that it was gifted to the town
that
for
it's
parkland.
You can't sell it. You have to go through parkland alienation, which is something you don't want to do.
Yeah, you got to go in front of the state legislature to.
But it's not technically parkland, although you have there's an ethical issue there.
Yes,
we accepted it under the
the auspices of it being part of the park. I mean, it's a nice piece of property. The east end towards the park is a nice piece of property in that it's all nice hardwood forest. The west side of it is really wet. It's no question about it. If it's more than 10 acres, they'd probably say it's state wetland. I don't think that the wetland acreage is quite 10 acres, so it probably wouldn't be designated as state wetland.
Well, if you guys can work out some kind of thing that you put into the deed where it's precluded from being built upon, that would be great.
We can do it. Assuming he's...
Mr. Whitney seems like a pretty straight shooter. He's like, I got less than 5 feet from the corner, literally from the corner of his house to the property line. And his house is built on the edge of the road right away. That's that house that's really close to the road. He just wants to have a little bit more buffer. He said there's some trees in the parcel that are owned by the town that are ash trees and are not very healthy. He's concerned with them falling on his house. And there are some ash trees on that hill that are not very healthy. There's no question about it, just like there are ash trees all over the place right now that aren't very healthy. So, you know, provided nobody's got any huge objections to it, you know, we can get some RFPs out to surveyors and appraisers for...
So we could write something in. We'd have to check with him first. I mean, and
in
then,
the deed, yeah.
In the deed. So, you know, what we probably should do is, before we jump in, make sure that he's willing to accept
yeah,
it under those
letter,
conditions.
Yeah.
Maybe you could write it up, sure. Give it to Al. Al could give it to him. Make sure that before we spend any money that he said, okay, under these conditions, you know, I'll still go ahead with it, and then it meets everybody's criteria.
Yeah, we can do that.
Then we'll move forward with
yeah,
whatever.
That's an easy
do.
Enough
I mean,
request.
I don't want to preclude the. I mean, I don't want to micromanage this, but I don't want to preclude the guy from putting up a, you know, a storage shed for his lawnmower or something. He ought to be able to do that if he wants. I'm just.
You're talking about building, you know, subdividing it. That's what we'll have.
No subdivision, residential structure.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
It can be an accessory structure, like you said, a shed or whatever. But no, or if you wanted to build a garage or. Right now, that house, I don't believe, has any garage on it. His house doesn't.
Yeah, you don't want to preclude him from using it for his personal
purpose. Yeah, but right, not to make
but
profit.
Like Bob was saying, to, you know, subdivide it. And
yeah.
It's all these years. I had no idea we owned that land.
Like I said, it's a really the piece to the east. And the east end of that parcel we own is nice. It's a really nice hardwood forest. Mm-hmm. But the west side of it is all wetland and steep slopes that aren't really suitable for any kind of park development, you know, at least from a nature trail standpoint.
Anything else on that? Jerry, you want to talk about your...
dilemma?
Yeah.
Well, I guess you guys were trying to resolve how we could do that in regards to my secretary. I don't know what all David has found out so far.
We were on the phone today.
Were you? Okay.
Can you get me up to speed?
I'll try. obviously, my secretary has been with the town 14 years. Okay. And now her and David are gaining some grandchildren. And, you know, a little time away, you know, and more in the future. And they're not sure, you know, what their plans are in the future. So I have to kind of, you know, be cognizant of that, their needs, as well as the needs of the highway department. And I suggested having a fill-in type of person, someone trained to be able to function as my secretary in her times of absence. I'll just use the example of what was given to me is like the month of April. I guess the daughter-in-law is planning on going back to work, and she might be gone for me for like a month at that point in time, which I don't have a problem with that.
Does she have, or is she allowed?
Well, she's part-time. So you're paid for the hours worked.
Okay.
She does accumulate because she's in a classification of a 12-month part-time person, which is kind of like, I don't think there's anybody else in that exact
she's the only one.
Class.
They're gonna, right
so
now,
she does get some vacation days. She does get some personal days, which she does utilize. But beyond that, it's a thing of... you know, Jerry, can I have Friday off? I want to go up to Rochester and do something. I'm not going to say no. I mean, you know, a person's, her and David are about the same age, and, you know, and they finally got grandkids and they want to spend time with them. I got no problem with that. You know, your other pursuits. But I have to be mindful of my department and what its needs are and vendors getting paid and, you know, phones being answered and everything else. So I asked if we could have... a fill-in, you know, when she's not there, someone else is, but the person is trained. Now, I guess in years past, like I think she had knee surgery or something years ago under my predecessor, and she was gone for like 3 months, and he would like have one of the part-time subs come in just to answer the phone. Well, that's crazy. You know, if I'm going to have someone sitting at that desk, I want them to be able to function. because there's a lot going on over there all the time. You know, you got to keep up with it or you're going to get buried. So, especially, you know, as you move on into the summer months. So, we started checking into it, and I have someone in mind, okay, who would be a good fit. Came in already. Cindy's talked to her and showed her some of the things that she would need to do and be trained on, and what's involved, and it didn't scare her away. It happens to be Bruce Cook's wife, okay? Bruce is planning on retiring in June. That's the plan. And I don't know, I had heard maybe she might be looking for something to do. And I asked him about it, and she said, oh, absolutely. Came right in to talk to me. You know, there was no other real interest in anybody, and because it's part-time, you know.
How many hours a week? 20?
Cindy's allowed 20 to 25. And what I wanted to do was, I don't want to have it where there's two of them there. We talked about this once before, years ago, you know, having an AM and a PM, you know, so you didn't have full-time with benefits. But we just weren't able to accomplish that then, because the major hours that we need people there are like 9 to 2. Cindy works 8 to 1. She prefers earlier, so she can leave in an afternoon and, you know, go do other things, you know. But she, like I say, met with her. They fit well together. Cindy would train her. And what dollar-wise, you're talking, Cindy's not there, Jen is. Okay, so you're
would
not...
Would they overlap at all?
Well, the only overlap would be for a couple of weeks to teach her.
Okay.
You know, at the onslaught, which would be, you know, any time as soon as we could figure out how to make this happen, you know.
So what's the dilemma?
So the price, so it doesn't change our...
No, I mean, we'd have a couple of weeks.
One or we'll pay any other.
Right.
Yeah.
I get that for the training. I understand.
Yeah, and there was also conversation, I don't even know how it came about, over here needing a floater, okay? And somehow in all of that,
yeah,
and the classifications
not, yeah,
and
that,
things.
That probably isn't going to work out.
Well, whatever.
But we'll get back to your thing. So with his, what we looked at was, she's got institutional knowledge, and I'm not, you know, I like to keep that if you can. And so I don't know, you know, Dave must have, or somebody brought it up about job, maybe it was you, about job sharing. Was it you?
No.
Must have been Dave then, about job sharing. So she could retire and then come back and then job share. Then if she wants to be off, she's off. It's still only one position.
Right.
And
yeah.
And then you keep that institutional knowledge, and then as she's there, if what's the lady's name?
Jen.
Jen. If Jen needed additional training, then you'd have...
The fact that you found somebody that's willing to...
Yeah,
so
you'd have somebody there.
What's the issue?
Well, the issue is...
Classification.
The classification, it's a secretary. And the secretary can only have one person in it. So Dave and I were on the phone today, and we were talking to civil service, and I said, oh, okay, well, how do you job share? Because they do it all over the county, right? Well, then we got into it. There is a way that they can do it. They have to, you appoint somebody for a time being, and then you could appoint two people, and then but they'd have to take a test. Well, they'd have to wait. They could be provisional until the test comes up. With this test, it could be months. It could be years. It could be 3-4 years before a test came up.
Could they talk at all about hiring her as just a part-time clerk without specifically being the secretary of the highway?
Change
the title, she can still do the work. I
mean, we didn't talk about that because we were talking about job sharing, because then you'd have two positions. We'd have to add another position in, you know, because she's
appointed,
secretary.
She's appointed by me.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but
civil
there's
service
only could be one person in that secretary.
So
then we'd have to
the other issue.
Establish another right position, in. I suppose,
that's
you know,
kind of
could do that.
Let them discuss,
but I think the easiest way to do it is to have them job share, really. But those are conversations. She's looking into it now,
yeah.
But those are conversations.
There's got to be a way to do it.
Sure, I know there is, because they do it all over.
And
Bob,
just so you know, further conversations just over the last, let's say, 24 hours, with my secretary. You know, she even, you know, feels that she's not going to work here forever. You know, maybe this fall. I mean, it depends on how much her other pursuits take hold. And she even made the comment to me that, you know, hey, I could teach Jen. You know, she could learn it. You know, work when I can't be here. Okay. But she even envisions that it may even flop where Jen's the primary and Cindy's the backup if Jen can't be there for one reason or another. I mean, she spoke as though that could happen very soon.
So, Jerry,
well, like the month of April, she might not be here at all. So, you know, I got to have somebody there.
That's why
if you job share, you keep that knowledge.
Not really.
You bring somebody in that doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you found somebody, and I don't have any problem with it. And the job sharing is, I think, one of the smartest things we should be doing in a lot of different departments. At the end of the day, it's your decision, I believe, to appoint who you want.
I'll have to post for this.
I was going to say, would you feel comfortable still posting and interviewing?
Yeah.
Because as wonderful as she is, maybe you'll find another rock star as well.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, transparency's sake.
Well, it's just how it has to be.
I don't
done.
Think you need to do that, not in that position. I don't think that's an appointed position by the highway superintendent, so he can hire whomever he wants.
He can, and I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying it might.
I was just curious about the civil service angle on this, though.
Well, there
requires a posting.
That's the criteria for it, though. It's not like that for other jobs. That there's only two positions like that.
Right.
And she's not union.
Well, yeah, I know, but yeah, I think because it's a new position, you'll have to put it on the union board.
Yeah, and like out here.
Yeah,
and
our report out
hand
here.
A copy to Tony because there's nobody at the park right now.
Yeah. But other than that, I don't know.
Okay. I mean, that's no big deal.
Just cover
to me.
Yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's great to see someone was interested.
But I don't think he has to do that.
I don't think
you don't have to do it with that
position.
That's
for an appointment.
That's not for an appointment.
It's like the judge's clerk.
Right, exactly.
It's his appointment.
Exactly.
He doesn't have to post it anywhere.
They're exempt.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. The only issue we have here is can we have him job share? And if we didn't, okay, then if he had a clerk, then you'd have to go through that.
Is David still clearing that with civil service? Or?
Yeah, we talked to him. We were on a conference call with civil service today, and we were asking him. So she wasn't quite sure. But there's a process that you have to go. They have to have a hearing with the state, and you know. So that's what I'm saying. I mean,
so,
this could be a long-term deal.
I think that's the only. I mean, we're all in agreement. I'm sensing that. Yeah, of course. This is what makes sense. But if job sharing is an onerous thing to go through, Bob, I mean, there's other positions that can be created that. And I don't know the advantage of job sharing, and if the secretary position is ultimately a tested position, then you're going to have to put this person on provisionally, and then you're going to have to hope that the state doesn't come up with the test. And that's what happened to Tim Walsey. You know, the state came up with the test for the for his position, and he had to take it, and he had to pass it, and he had to be reachable, and he wasn't at first.
Right.
So.
Well, we can look at. We'll go whichever way is the easiest way to go.
Easiest thing.
Most secure. It might be easier at first to.
Well, with that, if you form that that position, you might have
my secretary during tax time comes over here and helps Nancy.
This is
for additional hours. You know, so
you know, a civil service person. You're talking to Onondaga County. This is the personnel department in Onondaga County?
Yeah, but they have to go through the state in order to do it,
really?
Though. Yeah, for this thing, yeah.
Okay. There's got to be a simple way to do it. I mean,
what she said wasn't simple. She went through this
government.
I'm like,
it's got to be a simple way.
And, you know, just a fallback for you, Bob, and Jerry, is then we can create another position and pay it what we want.
Clerk one, clerk two. Yeah.
Whatever. And just make sure it's not a tested position.
Well, it's part-time. If it's under 20 hours, it isn't. But
sure.
Then, huh?
But this is 20 to 25.
It's 1,040 for the year. As long as it doesn't go over 1,040 for the year, you're okay.
All right. So
correct,
just,
Tony?
Yeah.
I mean, I have found the Onondaga County personnel people to be really helpful. I mean, they know their stuff.
So 25. 35 times 26.
Figure it out. I mean, you got the support here.
Okay. Well, that's what, you know, that's what I wanted them to do, just make sure everyone's on board with that. In whatever way we can facilitate that, I mean, it's not going to go over the whatever the budgeted amount. It's going to stay within that budgeted amount. And then, okay. Alarm system upgrade. Right now, there's some holes in the alarm system, and in order to make sure that we're covered overnight, we had Mr. Padula come in and look at upgrading the alarm system so that it can be automatically turned on at a certain hour and turned off at a certain hour. And then what I also wanted him to do was put an audible alarm on the outside. We got the state police barracks right over here. We got 24-hour gas station across the street, and you got people. So if we have that audible alarm, that I think that's a good secondary device to have here. Also, if that alarm goes off, usually people will take off. So, you know, we don't want them staying here and, you know, rack up like Pete and I were talking about what they did to the rental school years ago. They had three kids went in there and just devastated the place. Like $75,000 worth of damage, and just
back
for fun.
$75,000 was a lot.
That
money.
Was in the 90s.
Yeah, that was 30 years ago.
Yeah, that was a lot. So,
yeah.
So that's what that we got an estimate for it. It was it's not in here. It was $300 to upgrade the software, around $300 to upgrade the software, and it was $330 to run the wiring and put the audible alarm on the outside. So we don't have to bid it because we already have a contract with them, and also it's under $1,000 anyway.
So you don't need a resolution for that?
No, we don't need a resolution for that.
So you're doing it.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know what we were doing with it.
$660?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah. It's low. No, that was came
you
in pretty low.
Toilet put in for that.
Right. It came in pretty low. So did he talk about we were talking about it. The minority leader, Will Barkley, called, and I was on the phone with him about something else, and he said, "I got some good news for you." He came up with a $50,000 grant for land acquisition. So that $50,000 grant can help us with the purchase of the Nosewich property on, and I believe you had a conversation with Al.
Yeah, he told me about that.
Yeah.
Let me also just tell you where we are with Nosewich.
Okay.
We have a contract signed by everybody for the price and so forth, but we're having problems getting all of them to sign the deed. Three of them signed it.
Mm-hmm.
The one brother that they've had problems with all along, he's dragging his feet. We went to court. They asked me to come to court. This was back in end of December, beginning of January. And they both represented before the judge that everything was fine. They were all willing to sell it because there was a conflict.
Yeah.
The judge got them all in the courtroom. The one from Florida wasn't there, but his lawyer was there. And he said, you know, what are we doing here? We're all set. Everything's a go. So he said, good. What they're arguing about is how they're going to split the money up. So the judge says, sell the house, take the money, put it in an escrow account, and come back to me, and I'll help you figure it out. So that was...
Who was the judge?
Gilbert at the time. But he's back up in Oswego, so I don't know who's going to get it now. But so everybody walked away, and it was fine. And so all of our paperwork was basically done, and I kept calling and writing the one attorney that represented the three guys, and I wouldn't answer my calls, wouldn't send anything back, so I was getting nervous. But I found out that he's got the stuff signed, but it's the other guy that we're working on. So
I would slow down on him. And the reason being is I called them and I said, when Al and I were talking about it, and the question is, can we buy that and with this grant and then apply it after we already bought it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. I don't have the answer to that.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I would just...
Well, it's going to be a little while because...
Yeah, I would just slow down until we get that answer.
Up to this point, they've been very,
yeah.
very slow.
Yeah,
and it's
so,
nothing... I mean, it's not... We've agreed upon the price. We've agreed upon everything. It's
right.
Just the brothers fighting with each other.
Yeah. So they're...
It's too
I got a call in to Terry Wilbur, I think his name is, the minority leader's... aid, and he's going to get back to me with that, the question. I think they can help push it through anyway.
The minority leader's office is right next to me.
Oh, is it?
In the office, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I can. Will hasn't been there a while because he's been out in Albany.
Yeah.
After the session's over, he's there all the time. But his secretary is right outside my door.
So until we get that answer, I would just let
him find out.
Just let him go. You know, don't even hassle him. You know, and let him hold on
until we rush.
then when we get it, then we want to take care of it. But
okay.
So that that should help us out with that.
Yeah. That's a nice point. He's been very helpful in situations over the years. He and DeFrancisco, just finding his little pockets of money.
Well, now he's in a position like DeFrancisco was,
where
he should be able to help us out.
He can affect it. Yeah.
That's all I have.
About the village.
The village.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I forgot. I was looking at this one. So we went and we talked to. Hey, Al. Do you remember what the village said about the, they were going to look at the annexation about figure out if we have to do that or not, right? With the house because,
the new piece of
and we have that, if we buy that new piece of property, do we have to annex it into the, both of those two pieces, parcels, do we have to annex that into the village?
Probably, we're probably going to have to do some sort of some documentation to show that it's now become part of the park.
Right.
Or can we just do merge the parcels on the tax map, and being that the majority is in the village, the map would cover the entire parcel?
I don't know the answer to that, Al. I mean, I'd like to talk to the park people in the state to see whether they're going to require a specific transfer or whether we can do it a shorter way. But ultimately, at some time, we're going to need to put it in.
Right. Well, that's something we probably ought to start looking at because, I think you came up with it, and hey, do we need to do that? And I forgot.
Yeah.
That's in the village now. So any property we buy and attach it to the park has to be somehow attached to the village.
Yeah.
So what do we do with that?
In the long run, that could be the easiest part.
Right.
From what we're doing now.
Yeah.
And then, assuming we get that piece of property with the house, and then we make this transfer with this other. Gentlemen, do we have to declare if we want to make it parkland? Because I would support that to make it actual parkland.
The part we're getting from the other guy? Uh-huh. Right. Okay. Declare parkland and this would be forever parkland.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no access off of Henkel anyway. I mean, we're really the only ones that, correct me if I'm wrong, we're really the only ones that have access to that through the park. So.
Yeah.
Nobody can really use that other than
us. We'll have the legal description of the parcel because that's what the surveyor is going to do.
All right.
What was that?
That's another thing. This gentleman is acquiring. He has no access to the parcel off of Inca Boulevard, but he will have access off of 48.
Right.
So that is an additional value to him.
To him, personally, sure. Because he's just sitting on that property, But I mean, it could be, we're looking at it, we're not going to give something away that has more value. We can't, by law, we can't give something away that has more value than we're getting in return. So that's all going to be part of it.
Sure.
So it's going to have to be a 50-50 swap. Otherwise, we won't be able to do it.
If our land is more valuable than his,
right?
That's great. We don't need to, there's no dollars because, he's basically giving it to us.
Mm-hmm. So. Right.
The other comment I would make along that is, Al just said ash trees and hardwood trees. My recollection, if we're talking about the parcel, I think we are, on 48, that is all hard maple, which is a prime value tree. We're down on the low ground. I'm sure there's very little, if any, hard maple. So in the long term, owning those trees would be more valuable. Just straight out lumber.
Yeah.
Logging them than owning the low growing trees growing down in the lower flat.
Yeah, you're talking about the parcel we're taking in that'd be more valuable. Yeah. In which we wouldn't
the
be logging.
We're giving away or trading.
Would be more valuable. Well, that'll all go in the equation though.
Yeah,
I mean all of that'll go in the equation.
Just bringing
it up. Yeah. Yeah. So we're just in the preliminary stages making sure everybody's on board and then then we'll go through and see what we have. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if it does...
Public hearing on that?
Pardon me?
A Will that require a public? No.
No.
But we'll make sure people know well in advance what we're doing. That's why we're doing it now, and we're only in the preliminary stages, so there's really nothing other than what you heard, that we're just moving forward to take a look at it. But once we know, we're definitely know we're going to be moving forward, people have plenty of time to speak on this. I'll make sure that people get plenty of time to do that.
I strongly agree with Councilman Gordon Chirazzi's parcel comments that this is potentially a magnificent site for a good. The little things like setback and so forth can be, that's why we have a ZBA board. You know, there could be reasons found to.
Well, if we put it in the deed, they won't be able to do that.
Right.
You know, you just write it in. Because you can't do it with the property he has now.
Right.
So he'll be able to use it. Now. He'll be able to use it about as much as he's using his now, other than maybe he could put a shed on it or maybe add a little bit to his house or something. But he's not going to, when Mr. Rivazigno gets through with his pen there, he's only going to be able to do certain things with it.
We inquired what he would want to sell part or all of it. Other than, I got the idea he just needs a little more room.
Well, we don't want to spend the money for it. This way, we're not spending any money. The grant's going to cover the cost of the putting in the trail. The swap's going to cover the cost of the land acquisition. The only cost that we're going to come up with is the initial cost to do the land survey and what was the other thing, Jeff?
Appraisal
and the land survey. That's all. We already have that money
In lieu of parks.
So it's just
no chance the village would pay for part of that charge since they're going to be acquiring the land.
Yeah,
no. I know.
Yeah, I know that's a rhetorical question. So yeah, no. Anybody else got anything?
No,
that's good. So we're going to be
recess.
Yeah, we recess. We'll recess until call us meeting at 6:35.